Afternoon. Okay, we're holding here Perek HaZayin, I think. Okay. Anoshim Chakrei Lev. Haholcha Chasichlam Ba'atzmam. Ben Chochmei Ha'umas Nekron Philosophim. Reitzim Lizchakim Ala Metzius B'Sedeshlai. It's very interesting. I don't know of any other Sfarim where the Maral uses such poetic language to start out of the Prokim. A lot of the Prokim, he has this little segue with the kind of very poetic language back upon him. Achi damu sha'om dola emes. Vehine sochlu rochku lo yodov lo evinu b'chashechis halochu. Shem hoya noisen lev lo das, hoya noisen hoy dola shoya se yisoyid termina shamayim. Vayyitz ma philosophy chashechosom, ki ikazesh shu termina shamayim. Kasha odom yafshe begorim atzayim horois vitaira yoinoi, Azayamed alabiru b'moifes chituch ki efter rachshel hashemayim. So lemais like this. First of all, just there are many people that believe in a koyach elyon. In believing in teremin hashemayim is much less. And the truth is, believing in a koyach elyon in a just a klolistic way is not really mechayev very much. So it's a lot easier for people to believe. It doesn't demand much, really. Masha'in Kain, Torah Shemayim is where it hits hard. Now, I just want to explain one nekuda here. When we think of Torah Shemayim in the way that he's talking, we think immediately of the Torah that we have coming from the Rebbein Shemayim Sinai. He's talking about an earlier piece of the puzzle. He's saying, granted there's Rebbein Shalom in the world, is it muchrach that he must have set down in the world some sort of mahalach of moral rights and wrongs? In other words, he's not starting with our Torah saying, I want to prove those given Sinai. He's trying to build a philosophic argument, an argument of sorts, that it must be that there were, from this being, from this primary being, there must be tzivuyim and a derech chayim. V'hine, he says, Eilu anoshim ba'atzmam, kasher choykram metzias asir v'shayinu. Says, these people, when they were looking at the concept of asir v'shayinu, hayu meviyim moifes choytach ha-metzias asir v'shayinu misudah b'menu ha-kol, v'mash shenira b'nim tzoyim toif sidram v'yashapolam. So one of the primary proofs primary being who created the world, who brought this world into existence, is because the world is so organized. It's as complex as it is. It's very mesuda. Kol advar b'shir la'ayin akol b'chach minifla. V'dov v'zei yefshe shia b'mikra, ka mikra la'yas midvein harmi. So this is a klal that said before that anything by definition, the more frequent something is, the more complex something is, the longer lasting something is, the less you can attribute it to chance. That's almost by definition. That's almost by the definition. The difference in chance and something that's there be'etzim is if I ask people eating, is that normal or not? Is that essential person or not? Well, since every human I know eats, it must be like that. If one person happens to have something different, then I call it a variance. I call that the mikra. But anything that's permanent and constant is by definition almost a metzias. Avakashanir b'chalim tzom kulo maseda v'chachma. Gozru b'moifes chaytech, she efshe shlo yezeh rak b'mesad b'mamtzi akol, v'akel ashe sida akol v'chachmasoi, v'bor akol between asai. But when you do see the seder and everything we say that it must be stuna, omata nishalahem, acha she moide m'shtei dvarm, echa tzakol m'tzis m'suda, v'asheni shen roi loy m'shev m'tzis olam v'toyb sidur b'mikra kara, kem mikra n'toyn rab moid, וכל הנמצואים עם ריבויים הם מסודרים ואינו תורמת כסידרם, ולפי כך סדר נמצואים So if all this is true, you're admitting that everything is in the world has a Seder, and so on and so forth. Now, on the physical level, on the level of physical phenomena, we say there's Seder, and everything has a clear structure in a way that it exists permanently. If there is not a moral standard, then the world could not exist either. So it's sicha niv gazal chamas. Imayzem it's sias yesha mesuda. Right? Dovaze efshalema shadovazo mesuda biyesha.
Abba, I think we did it last week until a meifes hasheni.
Yeah. So why? Ah, meifes hasheni. Okay. Good. So okay, so the first maifis was the things that are misuder. I usually have it marked off. I don't know why the marker was there. I was trying to figure it out. Maifis sheni. So the first one he speaks about the mitzias b'mechayev seda ilam, and things that are misuder must have a definite structure, and so on. So he says everything in the world is created already permanent. Now this is an interesting point. The Ikrim says this also. The Ikrim speaks about how come every animal is born. Every animal is born pretty much finished the way it is. And it makes a lot of sense. In other words, every animal is born finished, just smaller. And it's very simple. You have to be small to fit into a mother. But as soon as he's out, his development is very rapid because nothing really needs to change. Adam is the only one that has an incredible long span. So he says, "Okay, Shomer Chazal Gamken Kol Ma'ase Breishis B'Tzivyonim Nivru B'Daitom Nivru B'Koymasim Nivru." So interesting. He learns the fact that everything is created the way it should be. So he's learning here B'Daitom, meaning completely. Chazal Rashi says Daitom means they were asked. He says B'Daitom Nivru. I think he means complete with the Das also. So all animals, they just get bigger. There is no additional feature that kicks into the animal batsim. By a person, he's missing something. By a person, there's something lacking batsim, and therefore the person is. I realized why it was marked off. I said the share someplace else, and it didn't have the sefer. Okay, so now I try to figure out because I usually mark off the place that we're holding. Okay, sorry. Agapana, a person's mind is at a seichel. O mitzad is adam chasa, shu chasa seichel. Ve'afim yimtzu protim, shem bali seichel, protim shal seichel. Ve'kodim dovaz ha'shlama klal, kodim niver bekoyach al seichel. Ve'afim hoitzi seichel al poil, adayne kashlemus, ki tomer oid bekoyach al seichel poil, ve'en kashlama klal. In an animal, there's a definite point of end. So we say an animal is born with whatever IQ it needs. It's basically just getting more experience, and that's it. An animal does not get smart as it grows. So it's finished. It is what it is, and that makes a lot of sense. A person is born So even a person who's born smart, even a person who's smart at a very young age, even the Vilna Gaon, but Tachlis, the Vilna Gaon at 3 years old was not the Vilna Gaon at 50. It's a whole different world. So Adam is be'etzem achasa. So how do you understand that? Mikoyin the girls are, yeah, the Enkans are like, Kashlamo, Kasha, Enkant is Cephas, but there was an anybody, Kitomir, Epsilon, Vasechel, Mikoyin, Vremesh, and Ashlamo. So all of Roim are Shlemos, and Adam is Chasa be'etzem. Omnam, Kasha, Nos, Ashens, Vachloilom, Atera, Dovaz, Ashlamo, Sasechel, Gamri, the Amfke, Adam, a Masikol, Atera, Mikomuk, Mishla, Adam, Ashlamo, Tarazesh, Atera, Sheboha Koil, the Yeshla Shlomit Mesh Omra Feuchba de Kulambo. So the moral says a different perspective on what Torah is. Let's understand this a little bit. If a person would have to be Masig, the Amitius of Torah on his own, so that means that the person himself is a, he's lacking an understanding of X, Y, and Z. And as he progresses, he understands X and Y and Z and A and B and C and so on. He's oimid on amitiyos. But once the person is a, if the person has Torah, so even though he doesn't have it in his own seichel, but the pshat is, I have the equipment I need for life. I'm a shalom in the sense, so it means working it through and understanding it. So in a certain sense, I have all that I need as soon as I have Torah. But dovaz eshemayt zodim shtei musel apoyel tomid eskakeim, dovaz eni ike, kein zeh shalom es haklal. So I personally am becoming more and more shalom. But lemaisa, the Ribbono Shel Olam, but the mind said that Klal Yisrael and the Tzura Klal Yisrael has a shleimus. So we would call that being shalem, having that. Rak mashlas ha-tur Klal Yisrael, dobe zo ha-shlamas ha-klal. O mashodem masik b'tur, shu masik harbe, v'ze ma'at, ein ze chidish. Ki ab b'shalem tzor, ha-shem kulu min echad, yish m'shini b'dobe shini megil atzmo, yish ze gol, ze kotin, ze ish kakalu, l'kor. So the fact that one animal runs quicker than the other animal, it's not a lack of shleimus, but I say it's something that is the etzem in the I say that it's a variation in the min. So here also, the different levels of attainment of Torah and the mela differences in the person's own mitzias is that's the difference. So he says v'cheres ha-Torah l'kal b'yichud. So the tzur of Chayzos Teirin Chayzos, it blitay sevich yisern. The kachi ev shalema rak hashlama achshesh laklal, ukirchsiv terachas. The dovaz hashlama sabmin achia hakol shove, ukirchsiv terachs yelachem. Neze nitna teir b'midbos shumokum hefka, v'teashleris min hanushi bichlal. So here he's adding that the reason why we gave it in Midbar is that it belongs to the world. In other words, just like the mashal, if I were to take something and I plunk it down in the middle of, I don't know, Italy, so it's Italian. If I plunk it down in the middle of Egypt, it's Egyptian. If I plunk it down in some island someplace that no one claims, so it belongs to everybody, then what I say is I put it down in the world. The reason why I was given the Midbar, the Maral says, is that it's mufka from any prat. It belongs to the world. Shumach mefka sheti ha-tera shlomos min anishu v'chlal. V'im kiloya umos shreitzin l'kavis ha-tera. Dovizem etzal mekal bolvad. So it's their choice. V'dovizem mechayev ha-tera min ha-shamayim. Atshia ha-shloma achas sichlis alamin v'chlal. V'im loya ha-tera min ha-shamayim. V'ya shloma miyuchedet chol prati v'prati. I want to give a bit of a muscle for this so that at least understand where it's coming from. First of all, imagine the following. There's a person who has some sort of very, very, very severe Asperger's. And you can't let him loose in society because he's clueless, zero ability to respond to social cues. To say this person is a severe chasa, and he can't, you know, he doesn't know what is he supposed to answer somebody, how is he supposed to respond, when should he talk, when can't he talk, b'chulo, b'chulo, b'chulo. Imagine this person has with him Rahman Aslan, a smartphone with an app, how to function in society. So, and as soon, and this is a very, very smart app, and as soon as he comes into the presence of somebody, it automatically beeps him, say hello. Then when he wants to say something, it senses he wants to say something and tells him, hey, shut up. And then, you know, it gives him all that. So I can say that this person, together with this app, is functioning as a functional site. He doesn't know right now all he needs to know, but tachlis, it's there for him when he needs it. So b'meila, I say, so right now he's, you know, that together with his thing is a fully functioning tzurasado. Now, if we ask ourselves generally, knowing right from wrong is the most important chelik of our tzuras adam. If we say a person doesn't know right from wrong, we say, you know, he's not an adam, he's not part of society. We know some things right from wrong. There are many things we don't know right from wrong. And the fact that we have Torah with us, which gives us a guidance to any one place, that tells us the right from the wrong, and so on. So now we come to this autumn again. Now, I just want to make a point. It's obvious that this argument is going to have a hard time convincing somebody who doesn't believe in Torah and Shemayim. It's not one of those arguments you can use, you know, to convince people. But it's an argument to understand that when a person understands himself, and if he understands that without Torah, I would be doing what's wrong, the fact that I don't sense what's wrong is like the child with Asperger's not understanding why it's wrong for him to speak the wrong time, wrong place, wrong thing. It's, you know, take my word for it. If Torah is what's right and wrong, we wouldn't guess 99% of it ourselves, so we don't know. But we do have the tool, and therefore we need to switch it on and to use it. So he says, "Well, chiluk zeh tiknu abrocha l'teira, ki brocha v'shanu shonso yisrasi b'teira, v'brocha zeh yisik moy shav brichas ha-mitzvahs, shemivorech ala mitzvahs, v'gam zeh sh'yisik b'teira mitzvah yisrasi mivorech alav, v'nei kein dai v'brocha zu, k'ashem yisbrocha v'shemoy tzisech olam ha-poil, v'en doimer zeh l'shar mitzvahs sh'odam oisim ha-atzmoy, av'la teira Hashem yisbrocha v'amoy tzisech olam ha-poil, v'en zeh l'odam mi-atzmoy." So he says, in all mitzvahs, we are finished products before the mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us what to do. So a person blows shofar, in the tkiya shofar, there's no be'etzem hashlama to tzuras adam. It's doing what I'm supposed to do with my shofar. So the bracha I need to make is one bracha. It's a bracha that I did something, that I was mitzvah to do something. In Birchas HaTorah, I deher in Torah itself that I now have a shlemus. I get something. There's a birchas hanenin of sorts. There's a birchas a shevach. Uchemach loshan malami demasha shahoyve v'dovaze ki atam lam Torah la'amor u'moytisech l'odem ha'poyel. V'pnei ki dovaze n'irak masha moytisech l'odem ha'potel ha'poyel v'lehiske ha'shlemus klal. V'dovaze m'chui b'chulak m'chish b'ya v'chon tikna b'rocha shlishis. I guess that condition is a condition that really will weed out a lot of people. It's for somebody who's about, it's two things. Somebody who's a Baal Nefesh and understands that without knowing and understanding what's right and wrong, he's not a Tzur Sodom. And with understanding that Torah is that app for us, it's like that child who thinks that app is just a gzeira love. It's telling him to do a lot of things that are not intuitive to him, but what can you do? That's what people want. But he doesn't understand that he's a chasa, and this is bimala chasa. Here also, if a person has Torah as being something extra, so then we have a problem. Then basically, the person doesn't have Torah for what it is. The birchas of Torah is to tell me that me without it am a chasa das, and at kerei karta we make the bracha mitzvah the tzuras adam. Me each time I learn, I'm getting that shleimus, and it's the Kali soul has it permanently. Moifesh lishis, v'hu moifesh baruch hi v'atar min shemayim, v'zeh, ki roish afres tevel hu ha'adam, v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v' Gilas HaKoyl. Shem Loikin Ya'odim Na'atzim Suvim Hashem Yisparach. Uresh Da'atayinik Ma'ashem Yisparach Shalak Erkai Bal Yoinim. So the first thing is, if we believe in Ribbono Shalom and the world, and Adam has Hashem Melech Malchus on this world, so either or, either Adam is a parallel independent Malchus. So the Marshal, imagine that I help somebody set up a business, and he set up his own business. So it's true that I set him up in business, but it's his own business. And now that it's up and running, I'm no shy to it. On the other hand, I could do it by opening up a branch for this person. And this person now has a branch. And so I made him the manager of a certain branch of so on, but I'm on top of him. So he says, so he must be Mesuda. So I need a permanent structure that sort of expresses this relationship, that Ribbono Shalom is the head of the company, and I'm a franchise, I'm a branch. So the difference between other malachim, there never would be a question that they're under a Kadosh Baruch Hu's rishus, because they can't do anything on their own. So definitely they're Mesudah Tachtov, no matter how powerful they are. Adam does have the ability to do it, and therefore you have this problem. I want to quote a Rambam. It's extraordinary how the Rambam's phrases Lashonis. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah, where he speaks about Bechira, the Rambam says harishus nesuna l'chol adam. When he speaks about bechira, he does not speak about bechira. He speaks about the rishus given to each person. The word rishus means permission. That's the normal way. But the word rishus, much more deeply, much much closer to its basic meaning, is autonomy. Dominion, rishus b'fnei atzmai, rishus in malchus. It comes from the word reish, rush, which means head of something, power of something. Rishus b'fnei atzmai means it's its own dominion. It does not, it's not subordinate to something else. And so in every movement, it's sovereignty, autonomy. All of those words are fit into the word rishus. We have to understand something. The Ribbono Shalom is the Sibas HaKoil. That's the primary definition of Ribbono Shalom. And therefore, it's like this huge machine where you can have something running long after the machine stops. But if I look at it honestly, it's running long after the machine stopped because the machine got it into action. So the first cog runs, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, and so on. But really, they're all dependent on each other. So it's one big machine, and the last cog that's running is really an extension of the first one. But the minute I make something autonomous, then it runs on its own schedule. Its function and the function of the other one have no shaykh with each other. So let's imagine I have a clock, a watch, and a watch has the old time watches where each one was a mechanism. So I have like 25,000 dials on it. This one runs the seconds and the hands and what time it is in China, and there could be 1,000 different things on it. They're all tied to each other. But let's say I also have something that times me running in you know on a race, like I'm a timer. That would be a very independent function. It has no shaykhus to the rest of the clock. I mean, it could possibly borrow certain things, but I'm saying why even klali? So when we say harishus nesun el adam, the real definition of that word is man was given autonomy, and adam in our perception can do or not do based on his ratzon, and no shaykhus to ratzon elyon. That's the critical difference between the two. So Adam, so Malachim and everything are not a stira to the Ribbono Shel'olam because they have no autonomy. They might have sweeping powers, but none of it is autonomous. Masha'enkein Adam, kama the Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, is an autonomous entity, and that's where unless we understand a certain kesher to something above him, we're going to have a problem. We'll hold it here. Lemaisa, I mean, we just started it, but this is he deals here with some interesting points about Bechira and Adam. We'll see. Mitzvah Shem B'Nedah next week. Al Kapanim, unless we relearn today's stuff again next week. But if not, we'll see it. Mitzvah Shem. Any questions, points, anything?
I'm just struck with how he's saying life is chaytich.
Yeah.
About all these kind of things.
Right. So let me explain to you, and I think this is an important understanding in all these things. Now, I stress a lot when we speak about Amuna and proofs and so on. One person will learn the morale. Let's say let's say morale is pshat in a Gemara, and he will say, wow, this is mukhrah. This is what the Gemara must mean. A second one's looking and say, I don't know, it's philosophical, chaymet, surah, this, that, I don't know. So it's somewhere after that. Whenever it comes, the dry, sterile proofs that you do in geometry works universally. Everybody will admit to it, except it works very well for dry, sterile stuff in geometry. When I have an argument with you and try to convince you something, then it's different. On this it says they are same as shonos. I grew up when it was axiomatic that family is kodesh and laxity in arayas is a terrible thing. B'chulu, b'chulu, and having children is wonderful, and b'chulu, b'chulu, b'chulu. In the 60s, somebody got up and says, who says? And everybody scratched their head and said, who says? And, you know, it's not. I remember someone was telling me about, they have a child who became fry, whatever it is, and the child's attitude is, Kibra Vein, I owe you nothing. you brought me in the world and didn't ask me anything. You owe me. You caused me to exist, and it's your fault, and therefore you owe me everything. So you say to yourself, you know, like, is there mind today? I don't know. But tachlis, like, for the morale, these things seem to be extremely, extremely powerful. Morale lived that way, and the morale's world, you know, in the world that he lived, mentally, emotionally, this was a very, very powerful argument. So that's what I said before, Makdama. They're internal argument. In other words, if a person understands and sees things a certain way, these arguments are a clear indication of it. It's an understanding of how it fits in their puzzle. It must be. This is the piece that's missing. For you, it doesn't mean anything. And for us, you know, and that's why these moifes chaytech, and for him, it's a moifes chaytech, and you know, and you kid, it doesn't, no way you can. On the other hand, some of the stuff you hear people saying in these kira places, everybody wows and awes over. You wonder, I don't know, and yet people find it extremely compelling and extraordinary. You know, I don't know. You know, it's a chachma to match the argument. I'll tell you, you know, we have here somebody who does tremendous kira with Sfardim from Eretz Yisrael, live here, very wonderful. And, you know, sometimes either I'm at a function, I hear they bring in speakers or whatever it is, or I hear this, but that would. And I cringe when I hear some of the stuff. And on the other hand, if I spoke to them once or twice, they think it's, you know, I mean, not making any sense. So, you know, okay. So the chachma is to find things that make sense. You know, is the pshat that people are just different? Is the pshat that they grow up with a different set of axioms? Is the pshat that they live a different life and therefore these things don't make sense? I don't know. So, that's what I'm saying. It's very hard when people, you know, if you look, I would say in the world of ideas and in philosophies, whatever it is, in the world of Sfarim, you find two types. You find something like a Masil Sisharim, which on initial contact doesn't blow you away, but you can always draw things from it, and every Dar prepares it differently and says over the Kudis. And then you have Sfarim written like the 19 letters and so on that swept away a generation. Today, I don't think anybody is terribly moved by those letters because it was written to be very, very specific. So it's just like, you know, you have instruments that are propriety and it works only for X, works wonderfully well, but only for X. And you have things like that are more general and each time it needs a fitting. So you always have that balance. You have things that were written that were extremely, extremely influential. And they were, because they were very specific to a generation. And then, okay, you know, then the next generation, it's kind of doesn't have that flavor. And much like you have classics, they never, you know, have that powerful impact in one generation. But every generation sits and learns it and understands it and sees it. And can draw from it. That separates a classic from. I want to look in Gemara. It's also like that. Rishonim are studied by every dar. Achronim, different daras had different likes. And some of the things that were said in one dar today, we look at it and we say, I don't know. You know, it's a lot of pulpulim, and somebody else says, wow, this is so. This is amazing. And I want to tell you, I was once listening. There's a Yidrib Shnei Alayman. He's an extraordinary. Extraordinary knowledgeable person. He has a son who's a Rebbe here. He's a Yid who's a Talmud Chacham, Yirei Shemayim, and a phenomenal historian and knows his stuff and very serious and does his research. Incredible, incredible person. He has tapes on a lot of different things. He has recordings and so on. So I listened to them and he had a recording. He was asked to fill in a shtiebel somewhere in Queens and the topic was, I guess, Elul. His topic was on saying the Dovid Hashem Oiri. So where it comes from. So first thing is, it's a Thursday night, and you hear, as he speaks, the Oilam is chomping on chomp. You hear that in the background. That's the tenor of the crowd. Okay. It's a marvelous piece. You know, really, he mamish goes and traces who was the first to say it, this and that. Really, I mean, Kedarko, excellent, extremely excellent work. he finishes. So like this, the article, the normal speech was supposed to be. It was a slot that they spoke on Chassidus, something like that. They learned Chassidus. I don't know what, something like Chassidus. So he spoke on this topic, and then he said, Lamaisa said it was supposed to be Chassidus, so I'll tell over a Chassidus Shaknesh to this. So he said over some story, some Chassidus Shemaisa. It goes along the following way. I don't remember it because it goes that there was a certain Rebbe, and this Rebbe forced Hashem, he made a shvur that Hashem has to help somebody, and there was a gzeir against him, and there's a big tumor shamayim, and they said if he ever said, didn't tell the truth, they're going to be battle him, and they got a whole, you know, a kiyad Hashem atoiv olav, the story. And then he says, they finally decided that they'll be kaim is gzeira, but they'll punish him. So he said, his punishment was that he had made it a takana to say, I think, Vayichulu twice on Friday night, and L'davar Shemayr this Rebbe. So in one shtetl, they stopped saying L'davar Shemayr, and the other one stopped saying Vayichulu. So in Shemeshul they did this, and this one they did that. So Mamish, you see that's the story. So usually, yeah, wow, that's amazing. Wow, what an extraordinary stuff. Now, I was saying to myself, 40 minutes of wonderful, wonderful scholarship, mamish, and that, nothing. And then 5 minutes of this wild, convoluted story, and the mamish, wow, that's amazing. It was worth coming just to hear this. I'm saying, either something's wrong with me, something's wrong with them. I guess you have to eat shalom to appreciate it. I couldn't, for the life of me, I couldn't get it. And now he said it over, like it wasn't his story. He had read it. This is one of the quote more classic Siddur stories, Fadjait, and it's like, what can I do? So when somebody says, that's what I say, when people say it makes sense, it doesn't make sense. So it really depends a lot. Making sense depends a lot on how much you're prepared in the background. It's like, if somebody goes up Shemesh Shabbos, the things we do on Shabbos make sense. Of course Shabbos don't put on a light. Of course Shabbos you don't drive any place and you don't answer a phone. It rings a lot. Of course, I mean, it's pashut. You may not like it and you may go off the derech, but you never have the problem of it, quote unquote, not making sense. Some of the outside, it's weird. And that's, you know, by the way, one of the reasons why the quote unquote tshuva movement dried out a lot is because the biggest customers were, and this I heard from a few people who grew up with some sort of conservative background. So the practices were fairly familiar. In other words, they weren't keeping mitzvahs, but they had the sense of Yiddishkeit that we would have a general sense. And then when you hammer home that what you're doing is not emes, and I'll prove to you that it's emes, and that you have to do it the way you're supposed to do it, and so on, it was a lot easier. A person comes from no place, it's extremely strange. And therefore, either you got people who are willing to do extreme things, or took a long time for a person to get used to it. And you know, a person who grew up with nothing, he's a community of people, from slowly he gets used to it. We need to appreciate that a lot of times when we say something makes sense, doesn't make sense, has a lot to do with our background. And you know, it's not always a davar muchlat. So for the Maral, yes, it made a lot of sense. For us, it is like, it's not an argument you can use any place. And even we don't feel it compelling. We don't live with that sense of there has to be things, you know, that that the etzem mitzias adam has to be muchrach and so on and so forth. Okay, good. A guten, cultive.